Good afternoon. I'd like to call House Judiciary Committee meeting to order. Today is Monday, February 26th, and the time is 1:34 p.m. We are meeting in the Max Grunberg Committee Room 120 in the Capitol Building here in Juneau. I'd ask that you please silence your cell phones. I'm still disappointed because nobody's brought donuts yet. Somebody's got a break. Wow, tough crowd after lunch today. The staff assisting us today is Shelby with the Juneau LAO and Sophia with House Records. Thank you for your work. The following members present today is Representative Johnson, Representative Gray, Representative Carpenter, Representative Groh, Vice Chair Allard, and myself, Chair Vance. We have a quorum to conduct business. We have two items on today's calendar, and that is to hear House Bill 238, Criminal Mischief in the Third Degree by Representative Josephson, and then hear House Bill 107, Criminal Law Definitions of Person and Life by Representative McCabe, and then take public testimony on House Bill 107. So if you are online for 107, I ask that you please remain online. We are going to have a first introduction from Rep. Josephson, and then we will get to public testimony. First on our agenda item today, we will hear House Bill 238, so I would like to welcome Representative Josephson to the table with his staff. Please state your name for the record, and please walk us through your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Andy Josephson. I represent District 13. It is South Midtown in Anchorage. Before us is House Bill 238, Criminal Mischief in the Third Degree. Are we good?
Brief at ease. Little technical difficulties. Please continue, Representative Josephson.
Sure. So, still Andy Josephson, District 13, South Midtown, Anchorage. The bill before us is House Bill 238. Let me be fairly succinct, lay some foundation for the bill. The committee may recall I have interest in, well, I have huge interest in protecting the public, and I think I've expressed that in my time here. And I've also been concerned that there are certain members of society that could be more vulnerable than others. Even though we're all subject to the randomness at times of violence, this bill is different in that what we're protecting is edifices, churches, synagogues. Currently, under law, under the Criminal Mischief Code, those things enjoy limited protection, where we apply a schedule to see what the amount of the damages was. And that is the main thing we consider in terms of the severity of the penalty in the schedule between, say, a misdemeanor and a felony, et cetera. And separately, there's an arson code that would cover something as severe as an arson of a church or synagogue. But the burning or the defacing, set aside burning, the defacing of a church or church property is akin to defacing a public park bench under current law. Typically it would be an A misdemeanor, again, depending on the amount of damages done to the church or synagogue. In a conversation with the Anti-Defamation League, interestingly, I don't remember if that was before October 7th of last year or after October 7th. And there I'm talking about the war in Israel and Gaza. But the Anti-Defamation League that came from Seattle, that's their closest office, they came here, I presented a lunch and learn, or they presented a lunch and learn. They recommended that to combat persecution of churches and synagogues, we increase or escalate the penalty for defacing or harming them in some way. And so that's the essence of what this does. It moves from a likely A misdemeanor in most cases to a C felony, the defacing of such a place of worship. We are one of only eight states that does not present in our code the severity and the seriousness of a punishment like that. So we are on the lenient side with seven other states. The The other things I would note are that historically in 1997, there was something called the Church Arson Prevention Act. It was a federal law, and I have some data which suggests that its implementation and enactment did have, now, admittedly, there are other variables, but it did have some desired effect in reducing, for example, total churches burned, according to one source, from 209 in 1997 to 82 in the year 2000. One could always argue whether that was the reason for the decrease, but I think the public, I've always believed that even where one can't make the causation argument that well, the public is entitled to a statement of law that says we won't tolerate this sort of damage. I would note that 8 days ago in Fairbanks, there was vandalism to a church to the tune of $12,000. Interestingly, I think this bill could enjoy bipartisan support. Just last October, the Alaska Watchman wrote an article about harm caused to places of worship in Alaska. And on that front, I would note that although it might be difficult to craft, a friendly amendment might concern or include in the law, they would say, sort of the appurtenances or the grounds around a church or synagogue. And I'd say that because the Lubavitch Center, which is the Orthodox synagogue in the middle of Anchorage, suffered serious harm, I think the painting of a swastika, to its museum, which is in the parking lot adjacent to the synagogue. That would be currently uncovered by this language. And that's why I say, although it'd be difficult to craft, I know you guys can do that, that might be certainly a friendly amendment. So that's the nature of why we're here. The ADL is a specialist in this. They created something called the Model Ethnic Intimidation Statute. And that statute calls for an enhancement of penalties where the target is what is called institutional vandalism, or in this case, a house of worship. That's mainly what I wanted to start with. I know our calendar is limited today. If there's anything I can answer, I'd be happy to try.
Do we have any questions from committee members? Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, to the sponsor, I heard you say church and synagogues multiple times. Just for completeness, this would also include mosques and Buddhist temples and other places of worship, correct?
Through the chair, it would indeed.
Thanks.
Follow up?
One more question. Is it okay to go into the bill, or is there more presentation?
Representative Josephson, do you have further presentation?
Well, there's a selection I'd like to read you, if you're interested, about the sort of community impact of suffering this sort of harm, this sort of desecration to one's house of worship. But barring that, we were going to go into a PowerPoint and some discussion from my aide, Mr. Schroeder.
Representative Gray, did you have a question at the moment? Or
I think it might be answered in the PowerPoint.
All right. Representative Josephson, please continue.
Well, if with the indulgence of the committee, may I read a selection from a book by a Phyllis Gerstenfeld, who's an expert on this subject?
Please continue.
All right. And the source that I'm reading from within the Gerstenfeld book is something called the ADL Perspective on Hate Crimes. And I know there's some reticence about hate crimes. This ultimately is not a hate crime. It's a criminal mischief crime. I would note, however, ancillary to this, in our aggravating section of statute, there is no inclusion of religion. So this is another way. In other words, if someone is targeted for their religious belief, for any religious belief, the court will, in Alaska, would not enhance the punishment. They would say you might as well have targeted them for the color of their hair or the size of their anything. You know, it's irrelevant. So this is another way to get at that sort of malevolence and that sort of attack on a religious community. But this is written from a Karen Zatz as part of this book, The ADL Perspective on Hate Crimes. A few years ago, and this is circa 2009, a synagogue in Reno, Nevada was targeted with a firebombing damaging the building. Within the following year, it was targeted a second time. When I met with members of the congregation, they were alarmed by these repeat attacks. They wondered if their children were safe at Sunday school and whether they were safe attending services. Some congregants resigned their memberships out of fear, and individuals told me they would no longer gather publicly with other Jews to pray. Some community members told me how angry these attacks made them. Older community members were reminded of their experiences during the Holocaust. Jews who were members of other congregations in Reno also felt that they were in danger. They told me that they were afraid for their businesses and for their families. Even when I spoke with members of other minority groups, including members of Christian and Muslim community groups, they spoke of their concern that they would be the next targets. But what I was heartened to see were that hundreds of people from the community, from church groups, civic organizations, law enforcement, and from the government, gathered together at community rallies to speak out against this act of hate. Over and over again, I heard from the Jewish community that it was this support from the community in general that made them feel safe to send their kids to religious school, to keep attending services, and to decorate their houses for Hanukkah. It is hard to overstate the importance of outspoken leadership in opposition to all forms of bigotry. Whether the leadership comes from elected officials, newspaper editorial boards, school administrators, or your next door neighbor. And again, the criminality described in this event in Reno, Nevada, would not be something a single victim suffered. It would be sort of the religious community. And that's part of what we're protecting through this this proposal.
Do you have a further slideshow?
We do. Mr. Schroeder.
For the record, my name is Alexander Schroeder, staff to Representative Josephson. Chair Vance, would you like me to deliver this sectional analysis or just get into the presentation?
Just continue the presentation at the moment.
HB 238, criminal mischief in the third degree, the title is technically accurate, but it doesn't quite capture what we're trying to achieve in this bill. But I do want to discuss criminal mischief a little bit before we go into what the bill's is aiming to solve and the issue that it's addressing. So there are five criminal mischief statutes, with first degree being a Class A felony, and this can include damage to oil or gas pipelines or other public utilities. The lowest level of criminal mischief is in the fifth degree, and that's a Class B misdemeanor, and this can include damage to property in an amount less than $250. The intent of the bill is to just take what would fall somewhere between the third and fifth degrees and place them all in the third degrees. And what we're trying to place in the third degree is this term called institutional vandalism. So institutional vandalism is someone who knowingly, and it says intentional here, in a more technical way, it should say knowingly, and there's a small difference that the representative might be able to get into about that. But it's a person who knowingly defaces, damages, desecrates, or destroys a building of worship, or the property of a religious institution. As the representative pointed out, there are currently 42 states and the District of Columbia that have some form of an institutional vandalism statute dating as far back as at least 1981. Additionally, U.S. Code subsection 247, titled Damage to Religious Property, is used in cases where the offense affects interstate or foreign commerce. And this actually has some relevance because in 2021, there was an Alaskan man who was convicted under this statute for threatening to kill congregants in a Los Angeles synagogue. So it can apply to Alaskans, but only if there's some interstate or foreign component to it. And lastly, our best data shows an increase in crimes motivated by religious bias over the course of time by the Anti-Defamation League, the Department of Justice, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And I can get more into that data on slide 4. So this graphic, which was attached to the bill, it was attached to the bill packet, but I thought it was important to put in the slide because it shows that this is a common type of statute and criminal law, and there's no indication that there's a political leaning to it. It's accepted mostly throughout the U.S. Except for seven other states. Here we go. So why do we need this bill? Well, as described in the sponsor statement, vandalism to a place of worship is treated no different than any other typical property damage. If the damage is less than $250, it's a B misdemeanor, and this carries a maximum of 90 days in jail and or a $2,000 fine. If it's 750 or more in property damage, the value of the property, it's a C felony, which carries a maximum of 5 years and a $50,000 fine. In 2022, the Anti-Defamation League suggests that, quote, a dramatic increase in anti-Semitic incidences in 2022 is in almost all categories cannot be attributed to any one cause or ideology, end quotes, suggesting that this is multifaceted. However, one recent example is the events that took place in the Middle East starting in October. The U.S. Department of Justice and the Anti-Defamation League reported a 360% increase in anti-Semitic attacks since the conflict began, and this included 554 incidences of vandalism. Specific to Alaska, we have 2022 data that shows that 80% of hate crimes, which under our current statutes, religion does not fall under hate crimes, but for reporting on the federal level, they report it as a hate crime, that 80% of crimes in 2022 that were hate crimes were religious-based, and 80% of those were crimes that were vandalism to property. So I think it's important to note that this is data from 2022. Although this was from a supplemental that was published in March 2023, suggesting that there should be data for 2023 that should be coming out soon. But this is the best and most recent data, and this just breaks down the types of bias motivation categories and shows that in 2022, 80% of those fall under the religion category. So we mentioned the Anti-Defamation League and instances of anti-Semitism, but I also wanted to show some local instances against some of our churches. So on the left is the St. Andrew's Church in Eagle River. In late 2022, it was vandalized with phallic symbols. And under current statute, if this damage was less than $250, then it would just be a B misdemeanor, and that's all. In the middle is a vandalized cross at the Church of Ammonic, reported by the Fairbanks Diocese. And the right is a Nazi symbol burned on the lawn of the Mountain City Church, reported by Must Read Alaska. And the intent of the bill is to just try to cover instances like these all within criminal mischief in the third.
We have a question from Vice Chair Allard.
I don't have a question. I just wanted to give you a little update. It happened twice in Eagle River. So can I make to the sponsor? I have a lot of respect for you, Representative Josephson, and I really appreciate you bringing this forward. And I feel like it's, I can't speak for you, but I'm going to. I feel like this is near and dear to your heart. And lots been going on in the world, and this really needs to be brought forward. So thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. On the slide on the far right, is it my understanding, Madam Chair, pardon me, Representative Joseph, is it my understanding that the Nazi symbol burned in the lawn would not be covered under this bill because that's part of the grounds? And you mentioned earlier about an amendment that would cover that. So is that something that would not be covered or is covered?
Through the chair, I hope Mr. Schroeder, who's studied this a little more than me recently, agrees. I think that very well may not be covered, because what's covered is the defacement, damage, or desecration of a building, structure, or personal property used for worship or any other religious purpose. I guess that could be, I mean, that's real property used for a religious purpose, perhaps. But, the language was proposed by Ledge Legal. I suppose I could have been more, asked them to be more creative. But I think that that may not be a covered event.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe just almost elevated you.
Not yet. Please continue, Rep. Josephson.
Mr. Schroeder.
For the record, Alexander Schroeder, and I, through the chair, I just wanted to say that we'll get back to Representative Johnson on that question. It was my understanding, although I could be wrong, that it would be covered because what was exempt, and we have an instance of it here, is a gentleman who is putting Nazi symbol stickers on a on the Alaska Jewish Museum, which is not owned by a synagogue. And that was the main issue that I discussed with Ledge Legal. I'll get to the bottom of this and get that question back to you. So what does HB 238 do? The bill elevates any value of property damage to a place of worship or the property of religious institution to a C felony. It exempts authorized damage by an employee of the institution. It gives the affirmative defense against this new statute for damage by an employee of the institution. And I think from my understandings and discussions with Ledge Legal, that includes renovations to the inside of a church. They wouldn't want to unintentionally let this statute be able to fall under somebody who's conducting that type of work. And it also mirrors language for places of burial and cemeteries. It has an immediate effective date, and that's essentially the bill in those three sections. So I just wanted to sort of wrap up with a few more general terms. We think that the value of property should not be the measure for the punishment of these crimes. Our freedom, our free exercise to religion is one of our First Amendment rights for a reason, and that these types of crimes encroach on that right by causing spiritual and psychological harm. And then this bill is not novel, even in Alaska statute. We already have this for desecration, defacement, or damage to a place of burial or cemetery. And all we want to say is that those are sacred places, and so are places of worship. So, thank you.
And actually, the last point is worth reemphasizing. So the current law proscribes more severely and directly instances where, for example, a place of burial, a cemetery, a headstone is desecrated or defaced. And it strikes us as inconsistent to say the building next door deserves less protection. So we're just trying to reconcile those things.
Thank you, Rep. Josephson. Does that complete your bill presentation?
It does indeed.
Thank you so much. Do we have questions from committee members? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to make a comment, and then I'll ask the question if that's okay. Just for completeness, in the 3 weeks following October 7th, there was a 182% increase in violence against Muslims. And between October 7th and December 2nd, comparing it to the previous year, there was a 172% increase in violence against Muslims. I'm just saying that for completeness. My question is, through the chair, for Section 2 of the bill, I'm wondering if you could give an example of something that would be an affirmative defense under the new language. I assume that this is like to protect somebody who's tearing down a wall in a church for as part of their job.
Through the chair, that's exactly right. And as to your previous comment about damage done to our brothers and sisters who worship in the Islamic faith, the beauty of this is that everyone would enjoy the protection, obviously. And to the extent that resonates and is embedded in our culture, all the better.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions before the committee, I want to thank you for your presentation. We are going to set House Bill 238 aside for further review, and we appreciate you bringing this forward at this time, Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I will take a brief at ease as we transition to the next bill. Back on record, we will now take up House Bill 107 in its second hearing, and we will just jump right into public testimony because we have a lot of people online who have been waiting to testify. I want to thank you for your patience. So we have an hour left in committee, and because we have 52 people online, we do have people in the room. I'm going to allow a crisp 1 minute, and my apologies, and I just want to state in advance that if we are unable to get to you, that you can send your written testimony to house.judiciary@akleg.gov, and we will upload it to the public record. So I'm going to first open up public testimony in the room. And first we have Starla Miller, if you'd like to come to the table. Are you?
I'm going to go first. My name is Donna Bell.
Donna Bell, please come forward. Please state your name for the record, and you will have a minute. I apologize.
I'm glad there's so many people wanting to testify.
I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to be heard.
Can I really
give 1 minute
to her, please? It's important.
I'm asking for 1 minute, but you have an opportunity to come forward. So please continue.
My name is Donna Bell. I was born here in Juneau, born and raised here. I got pregnant twice in the 80s. I was with a very violent and abusive partner. My first pregnancy was aborted due to fear, and he was very insistent upon it. I didn't really have a choice. I went back on birth control and got incredibly ill from the birth control pills. And in the meantime of that, I was not protected, and I got raped again by my partner and got pregnant again. This time I decided to make it my choice. I had my boy. But during that 6.5 months before I went into the hospital with placenta previa, I was beaten. I was battered. He did everything that he could to make me lose that child. And I didn't. But I went into the hospital with placenta previa. If you don't know what that is when the placenta tears away from the wall and covers the cervix. And there is no exit. And it was because I was beaten by this man. I finally found a way out. When my son was 3 months old, I moved back home to Juneau, trying to find safety. He followed 3 months later. Just trying to make this short, we ended up in an AWARE shelter for 6.5 months. He found another woman who was very wealthy. They came after me, and they came after my son. And he got joint custody of him. I had to live the next 18 years letting that man help raise my child, and he was my rapist and my abuser. And this was 20 years ago, longer than that, in the 80s that this happened, and that it was allowed to happen. And that was here, in Juneau. This was allowed to happen. This is not okay. Abortion is a choice for women to make, not for anybody else to get involved. If we have to fight to survive and we're prey for men like that, that's not okay. We should not be forced to have a child that we cannot have.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Bell. Next, we have Starla Miller, if you were in the room and would like to testify. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Starla Miller, and I have relocated to Juneau in 1988 from San Francisco. I was like to say that my basic story is that for health reasons, I had to have an abortion after I had a child because I had what was called placenta attachment, where they had to remove the placenta from my uterine wall, which made it so I couldn't have back-to-back children. I was on birth control at the time, but still I had to have an abortion because the doctor said, we can either be, you can try and have this child and possibly have a living birth, but die during the process because your uterine has to have enough time to become healthy again. If that were to happen right now in many states, period, that would be, it's illegal. And I don't want to see that happening here. I want to make sure that everybody has the right to say, this is what I need to do for me as a woman, because it's my body, it's my choice. And that's what I feel is really important. And whether it's my situation of being in a medical emergency, or if you've been raped, or if you are just choosing as a woman to not carry a child full term, as long as it's within the legal limits, which we do have, then that should be the case.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Miller. Mm-hmm. Next, we have Celine Hook. I apologize if I mispronounce your name.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Salim Hauk. I am a Juno resident in House District 3, and I'm here testifying on behalf of myself. I'm here today in opposition of House Bill 107. There are many, many reasons to stand against this bill, more than I have time to name in my 1 minute. So I'm going to jump to my last point, which is that Alaska's constitution protects the right to abortion, and these bills that try to get around that are expensive. The state has paid an estimate of $4.1 million in legal fees defending unconstitutional anti-abortion legislation that the court repeatedly overturns. In this moment where there's an ongoing fight about school funding, it looks really bad to spend millions of dollars on these abortion bans. It will be clear to Alaskans that you care more about controlling what we do with our bodies than caring for the children who have already been born, who live and learn in Alaska. We don't need to let this bill get that far. Vote no on House Bill 107 and end this nonsense.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Noah Williams in the room. If you would please come forward to the table. State your name for the record, and you have 1 minute.
Hi, folks. For the record, my name is Noah Williams. I'm a now concerned to be former resident of Juneau. I had a speech prepared, but I just want to simplify it by reading this text for my friend. Okay. If I had gotten pregnant from my rape and didn't have access to abortion, I 100% would have taken a 12 gauge to my head. That is a close friend of mine who has moved out of Alaska. Alaska's youth are leaving. I'm not even configured as she is. I don't have to deal with this problem directly, but I am leaving too, and I was the first kid born in this state in the new millennium. It is because of intrusions on our bodies like this. It is because of wasting time spending year after year. I've been coming here since I was 14, testifying against bills like this and in favor of school funding. It is ridiculous that we are still engaged in this debate, and it has gotten more and more extreme. Please vote no on this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Crystal Johnson. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Crystal Johnston. I'm a resident of Juneau. 20 years ago and 2 weeks, I had to have an abortion. My son was 3 months old, and I'd had a C-section. Accidents happen. If this were to be law, I'd be dead. My doctor recommended I not continue the pregnancy because my uterus would have ruptured and I would have hemorrhaged. And it terrifies me. Women die in childbirth even now. And this would only force people to go back alley where they die too. You can't take away a woman's right to choose. If you choose not to have it, that's great. I support your choice too, but you don't choose for other people. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Makaya Khalsa.
You're doing so good on these names. I'm Mukia Khalsa. I live in Juneau. 1 minute. We talk about supporting life and being pro-life, but when you vote for an anti-abortion bill and against helping people that are actually out of the womb, it's not very convincing. We have a governor that wanted to send National Guardsmen down to the Texas border where women and children were dying in the river while Texas guardsmen watched. So I don't, I believe in choice, and then I'm against this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to give testimony on House Bill 107? Seeing none, I will now move online. to the top of this. Okay, first in line, we have Megan Byrne. If you would please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Megan Byrne. I'm a physician, OB in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I strongly oppose this bill. I believe through my medical experience that Alaskan women will suffer, and we will have deaths because physicians will be afraid of legal repercussions if we perform life-saving measures, and not only for abortions, but for things like ectopics, women with heavy hemorrhaging or bleeding. I also think this will prevent a lot of physicians from moving to Alaska to practice.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Victoria Rosen from Anchorage. If you please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Yeah, my name is Victoria Rosen, and I live in Anchorage, Alaska. I strongly oppose.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Aaron Rosen.
Aaron Rosen, Jewel Lake in Anchorage. I strongly oppose House Bill 107. After hearing some of these other testimonies, I'm at a bit of a loss on what I can add to it. But this establishes a precedent already recently enacted in the state of Alabama. It's consistent with current partisan trends and, in my opinion, with a political motion rather than language designed to forward the best interest of public health or indeed the sanctity of life. The bill would have reaching consequences in the areas of in vitro fertilization, abortion, even in contraception, and then these matters should remain in the domain of healthcare professionals and not legislators pushing their political ideologies. And if I may be so bold, male legislators proposing the restriction of healthcare rights to their female constituents is inappropriate. So I oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Colin Rosen. If you please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hello, I'm Colin Rosen of Anchorage, Alaska.
Please continue with your testimony.
I can only think to continue off of where my mother was not able to finish. Now, many years ago, well before my time, my mother had to make a choice. She wasn't able to finish what she wanted to say because she is still living with the consequences of that choice. And here you have people sitting in business rooms legislating that this is an easy choice for people when it's not. Leave this choice to women. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Wow! Holy shit!
Next, we have Laura Gajinski. You please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute. Appears that Laura's not online. Next, we have Casey Kasort from Fairbanks. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. My name is Casey Kasort, and I live in House District 34 in Fairbanks, and calling on behalf of myself, I am opposed to House Bill 107. Alaskans just voted down a constitutional convention because we see what is happening in other states that don't have access to these constitutional protections for abortion care, but Alaska does, and this bill is so blatantly unconstitutional and such a waste of the legislature and public's time when you should be focused on things like access to preventative health care or funding education at the level students and educators deserve, or doing anything that would actually make Alaska a better place to live. And I urge this body to not give the bill any more of the time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We do have Laura back, Laura Jakinski, and I apologize if I didn't pronounce that accurately. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hello, my name is Laura Gajinski, and I'm a constituent from Fairbanks in North Pole, Alaska.
I represent myself today, and I'm calling to oppose HB 107. The reason I'm calling today is to oppose HB 107. This bill has been put forth to very explicitly criminalize doctors for performing an abortion and simultaneously attempts to classify a fetus as a person. This is wildly sorry, this is my first time testifying. This goes against not only my personal beliefs, but it also directly goes against the Alaska Constitution. In 1997, our state's highest court recognized a fundamental right to reproductive choice. I refuse to stand by while these representatives move to remove my rights. Abortion has been protected in the state for 27 years, and I will continue to show up to assure my children one day will still be given the freedom to make their own decisions about their bodies and their reproductive choice. Thank you for your consideration and Free Palestine.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Lily Overland from Palmer. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
I am Lily Overland. I'm actually currently pregnant, and hearing about this bill, I decided I won't do it again if this passes in Alaska, because it's terrifying. And I just want to touch on some of the quotes from this bill are over 100 years old, one being from 1903 and another from 1868. I don't see why Alaska, our legislators, and our people would want to go back in time and strip women of their body autonomy and, honestly, their privacy. The rights of an egg or a fetus are not worth more than a woman's life. And the text is theocracy. It's not medical text. This is a Christian ideology, and it's not what needs to be in our government. This is a constitutional right. It's a woman's right to her own health care. And women will not get pregnant if they are afraid of becoming a potential criminal. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Emma Wilson of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hello, my name is Emma Wilson. I am a proud Anchorage resident and Alaskan. I am here to oppose HB 107. It is in direct opposition to the voices, needs, and desires of Alaskan voters and is unconstitutional under Alaska's constitution, which gives us access, protected access to abortion. This bill is anti-science, it is ambiguous, and it is dangerous. The introduced definition of personhood has the potential and the intent to endanger the lives of pregnant people in need of life-saving care and intervention while criminalizing tremendous loss. As an Alaskan with the ability to fall pregnant, this bill threatens my liberty and this bill threatens my life. It encumbers life and it encumbers my ability to live here in Alaska. I want to be here. It is my favorite place in the world, but a bill like this makes me want to leave. I oppose HB 107 and I appreciate everybody's testimony thus far. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Ann Doherty of Anchorage. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Thanks. My name is Ann Doherty. I live in Anchorage. I'm calling as well to oppose HB 107 for all the reasons everyone else has listed. We just voted no to a constitutional convention, not only 2 years ago. So putting up bills like this just seems like a smack in the face to people that are voting and live in Alaska and care about these things. I also feel that this is kind of an attempt for politicians to get their name out there to future donors when they try to make maybe a run for larger seats going forward. And I also think that that is quite a smack in the face again to people that live here. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Amber Souders from Kenai. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
My name is Amber Souders, and I am from Kenai. When I was a teenager, I was doing a lot of things I shouldn't have been doing, and something that wasn't supposed to happen did happen. And I was so afraid of going to my mother because she's pro-life, and she would have forced me to carry a baby that, with what I know now with my medical history, very much could have killed me. I did everything I could to perform an abortion at home. I beat myself severely. I drank all sorts of homemade teas and concoctions. I damaged myself in ways that are inappropriate to speak of in court, all in attempts to provide myself an abortion at the age of 14. This bill would absolutely endanger the lives of not only every human person in Alaska, it endangers the lives of children that it claims that it's trying to protect. If these legislators want to protect children, then they need to be protecting the children that are already here, languishing in a foster system that can be brutal and cruel on so many kids. This bill is not to protect children. It's to control women. It's a disgusting bill, and it needs to not exist.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Benjamin Preston from Anchorage. If you please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. My name is Benjamin Preston. I live in Anchorage, and I oppose HB 107. I think everybody else has stated my points much clearer than I think I could, but I'll be brief. This bill contradicts our existing Alaska Constitution. I think that should end it right there. Beyond that, it is needlessly confusing and complicating our current legal language. And my biggest fear is that it will endanger Alaskans and our protected access to reproductive health care and possibly fertility care as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Jessica Von Osdell from Palmer. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hello, I'm Jessica Van Osdell from Palmer, and I add my voice to those opposed to HB 107. This bill is not scientific. An embryo having unique DNA does not equal personhood. Is it a life? Of course. It meets the scientific definition of life. Does that mean it's a person? No. That is a philosophical and religious question. The level of brain development necessary for consciousness is not present in a fetus until 24 to 28 weeks of gestation. Without consciousness, one cannot participate in self-determination, as the bill says. Mr. McCabe described the role of the mother's body in pregnancy as passive. This shows a severe misunderstanding of the realities of pregnancy. To call an embryo separate from the mother's body is not accurate. Facing permanent bodily changes, risk to physical and mental health, and the risk of death is anything but passive. This bill could lead to criminal charges being filed in cases of abortion, and doctors and pregnant people should never fear criminal charges while providing or receiving health care. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Desiree Arrowson from Juneau. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hello, my name is Desiree Arrowson, and I am a resident of Juneau. I am also on the board of directors for the Juneau Pro-Choice Coalition. This bill is clearly an attempt to classify a fetus from the moment of conception as a person, which will be used to criminalize doctors in performing an abortion. This is obviously a backdoor attempt to overturn our rights as protected in the Alaska Constitution to obtain a legal abortion. And a lot of people have already said a lot of great things, so I won't go through that. But it is clear that this is what your constituents want. We do not want you to pass this. This, in addition to what other people have said, I believe that this is a violation of Article 1, Section 4, the freedom of religion. My religion is not the same as yours. I do not believe that this fetus is a person. So under Article 1, Section 4, no law shall be made respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You are enforcing your religious views onto me and to other people. So I urge you to vote no.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Margot Revile. I apologize if I got that wrong. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Yes, my name is Margot Rive, with Homer, Alaska, from Homer, Alaska. I'm asking you to oppose HB 107. My first pregnancy was a partial molar pregnancy, a situation where two sperms fertilized one egg. The result was not twins, but instead a growing mass of cells that would never be viable but could become cancerous. This required surgical intervention. I did not get cancer, and I was able to have two kids, now fully grown, that I adore. Not every sperm-to-egg contact is viable. Not every division of cells supports life. I trust my doctors with years of education in their specific field to understand and assist me in making the correct decisions regarding my health care. I do not trust politicians with strong religious convictions and no education in writing legislation to create appropriate and effective reproductive laws that prioritize individual health and liberty. Also, there is a doctor shortage crisis. States that have passed abortion bans are losing their doctors, especially specialists in high-risk pregnancies. U.S. News & World Report stated that 4 out of 5 medical residents that said they would not choose a state with abortion bans for the medical practice. Alaska has trouble enough enticing and keeping qualified medical professionals in our remote towns and villages or even to our largest cities. As
Thank
a state with the highest rates of rape.
Next, we have Michael Garvey from Anchorage. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Garvey. I am representing the ACLU of Alaska in opposition to House Bill 107, a wildly unconstitutional attempt to establish fetal personhood in Alaska and to criminalize reproductive health care. The bill is unconstitutional because it would add broad definitions of person and life that are intended to provide rights defined in the Constitution to fetuses, embryos, and fertilized eggs starting at the point of conception. By adding these definitions to criminal code and only criminal code, the bill is designed to put providers and people seeking a range of reproductive health care, including abortion, behind bars and to deter the provision of care. But HB 107 cannot trump the state Supreme Court's repeated recognition of Alaskans' right to reproductive freedom, including the right to choose abortion under Alaska's constitutional right to privacy. HB 107 is also unconstitutional because the definitions are vague and would create tremendous confusion and conflict with existing statutes. The right to due process in criminal law requires that people have the right to know precisely what conduct is prohibited and what is allowed. It is unclear how courts will handle these conflicts. The bill is unconstitutional at its core and an attempted end run around a fetal personhood amendment to Alaska's constitution.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Jamie Trapp of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Jamie Trapp. I live in Anchorage. I oppose HB 107. I do not think that it honors our existing populations, our women, our healthcare providers, and I think we need to prioritize our people and I support everyone else who has spoken thus far. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Annie Huey from Girdwood. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hello, my name is Annie Huey. I'm calling from Girdwood, Alaska, and representing myself. I'm calling to oppose House Bill 107 and echo everything that everyone's already stated because abortion is healthcare. Studies have shown that denying women free access to abortion does not reduce the number of abortions. However, it increases the number of unsafe abortions. This bill is a death sentence for Alaskan women.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Hannah Holder. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Hannah Holder. I'm representing myself from Still, Alaska. I wanted today to have my voice heard about opposing HB 107. I believe it raises significant threat to the right of privacy for citizens of the state of Alaska. A constitutional convention has come onto the ballot multiple times over the decades, most recently in 2022, and voted no by majority. So the meaning of the Constitution as it stands, and in that the right of medical privacy for all citizens of Alaska, we have voted as a majority to uphold our rights. I would also like to say the proposed amendment to include these definitions of life is written in purposely vague language. The manner that the amendment for life in particular is written is so broad that it could conceivably include a number of non-human organisms. It would consequently lead to a large degree of litigation, as is mentioned in the fiscal note of February 16, 2024, and therefore the massive use of funding that, as previous ballots have shown, is not supported by a majority of Alaskan voters. On a more personal note, my mother had an abortion as a young woman due to an encounter I do not have the details to. she had not had that right, my sisters and I would not exist. And neither would she, as she does today, a good mother and one of my closest friends. To conclude, I do not believe this bill was written in good faith to the rights of Alaskans, as well as that it was written as a purposeful slight against our intelligence. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Justin Pressler of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Justin Pressler. I live in Anchorage in South Muldoon. I am calling in opposition of HB 107. This bill is a blatant undermining of the rights of Alaskans and is looking to be a backdoor method to impose religious beliefs upon the constituents here. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Lori Walton from Fairbanks. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
My name is Lori Walton. I'm representing myself. I'm calling in opposition to House Bill 107. I'm opposed to this extreme proposal. It's out of line with mainstream Alaskans, and it is unconstitutional under the state constitution. Legislators should not be interfering with the health care decisions of Alaskan women with intrusive legislation like HB 107. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have David Frey from Fairbanks. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hello, David Frey, Fairbanks, Alaska, speaking for myself. I am calling to oppose HB 107. I believe it's designed to intimidate doctors from performing life-saving abortions. And this is a personal issue for me because a while back, my wife had a life-threatening pregnancy that was nip and tuck, and the fact that she was able to get an abortion right away when she needed it to save her life without the state interfering, without delay, that was very, very important. We saw what happened in Texas. In Alaska, people can't just drive across the border for medical care. This is a high-risk situation, and it's very important that HB 107 not pass. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Jacqueline Randall of Palmer. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Randall calling from Palmer, Alaska, testifying on behalf of myself today. I would like to urge you to oppose HB 107. I myself and trying to get pregnant and have children soon, and this bill is terrifying and would make me want to leave Alaska. Please support women's right to privacy and oppose HB 107. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Sue Steinecker from Nome. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hi, yeah, this is Sue Steinacker. I've been an Alaska resident since 1980, residing primarily in Nome, and I fervently oppose HB 107. So many points could be made, but I want to stress that in our country, there is no consensus of people's religious beliefs on when human life has reached a stage at which it needs to be protected. This is why every woman should be free to choose or reject the option of abortion without government intervention. What I steadfastly oppose is the legislating of one group's religious beliefs over another. I practice my Quaker faith and am a supporter of abortion rights because my Christian belief is that a woman's choice is a matter of individual conscience to be taken in relationship with her God, not her government, as she weighs the multiple impacts of pregnancy. I absolutely do not support HB 107. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Serene O'Hara Jolly. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Thank you, Chair Vance and members of the House Judiciary Committee.
My name is Rose O'Hara Jolly. I'm an Anchorage resident, and today I am testifying on behalf of Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates Alaska. PPAA strongly opposes HB 107, an extremist personhood bill that attempts to classify a fetus as a person and could criminalize doctors for providing any abortion care. This bill blatantly violates the Alaska Constitution, which protects our right to obtain or reject medical treatment without government interference. We know that personhood bills like this create confusion and chaos in our legal system and often result in the surveillance and criminalization of pregnant people at the earliest stages of pregnancy, including those experiencing negative pregnancy outcomes like miscarriage and stillbirth. HB 107 could also have ramifications for families attempting to use assisted reproductive technologies, including IVF. We refuse to let the chaos happening right now in Alabama happen in Alaska. Bizarrely, HB 107 adds an entity that has the moral right to self-determination to the definition of person in the state's criminal law statute. It also adds an expansive...
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. O'Hara. Next, we have Josh Smith of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
My name is Josh Smith, and I'm a resident of Chudiak, Alaska, and I'm here to call in my clear opposition of House Bill 107. Most things that I want to say have already been clarified beautifully, so I have just a couple things to touch on. The courts have repeatedly here in the state of Alaska upheld the reproductive freedom under the right to privacy in the Alaska state constitution. The fact that the legislature is trying to circumvent that it's problematic. We've seen time and time again after the overturning of Roe v. Wade how deeply unpopular these bans have been. And states that have actually put it up to a popular vote, like Kansas and Ohio, overwhelmingly conservative states, they've overwhelmingly rejected the notion that the government has the right to tell people what they should be doing with their bodies. It surprised everybody. So it's important that as an Alaskan, that's one thing that I think Alaskans really share, whether you're liberal or conservative, we don't like the government to tell us what to do, and we enjoy our freedom. And this is absolutely paramount in a free society. And when it comes to reproductive freedom, when it comes to contraception, when it comes to IVF, it's absolutely imperative that this is a deeply personal choice. And it is not the place of the government to be determining personhood that conflicts with the existing rights of Alaskans that want to make these choices. So in closing, I vehemently oppose this legislation. This is a waste of time. We have real problems in the state of Alaska. I trust your judgment to do what's right. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Suzanne Bolin of Anchorage. If you could please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
My name is Suzanne Bolin, and I am in favor of HB 107. And everyone here who is using the word fetus is using it incorrectly, because the Latin definition for fetus is small child. It's not gerbil. It's not guinea pig. It is child. So you're already calling it a child. Lily Overland, I beg you, please do not have an abortion. I will take your child myself. I will raise it lovingly. And if you don't want me to have it, I will find a loving home for it. People who feel they have to have an abortion, Tim Tebow's parents were told that he was going to grow up, that he was going to be born as some type of horrid thing. Tim Tebow has grown to be a wonderful, beautiful man who cares about children. I feel it's terrible to use abortion as a means of birth control, and 97% of the abortions are just that. They are a means of birth control. I've been a medical professional since 1992. I do know medical science, and a lot of people here...
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Bolin. Next, we have Denise Miller from Eagle River. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Denise Miller. I have lived in Alaska since I was a small child, mostly in Eagle River, and I love Alaska. My husband and I have 3 children. We vote in all elections. I have never testified before, but I am speaking out against House Bill 107. Human life does not begin at the moment of conception. A fertilized egg requires a womb to develop into a baby. This bill would put a non-viable organism on the same footing as a human being. The result would be to decrease the rights of families and women throughout Alaska. It will adversely impact healthcare and access to contraceptives. If this bill passes, a woman's health and life will have no more value than the non-viable organism. If passed, this bill would be disastrous for women, their children, husbands, and families in the state of Alaska. Look at the example of other states where this kind of legislation has passed.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Miller. Next, we have Reagan Berry of Fairbanks. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Reagan Berry. I'm representing myself. I'm from Fairbanks. I am testifying in opposition to HB 107. I think, obviously, I agree with everyone else who has spoken today, and I think it is unconstitutional. I moved to this state about a year ago, a little over, to escape this kind of legislation, and now it's happening again, and it makes me want to leave Alaska as I'm finally finding my footing. I also believe it goes against privacy rights and medical privacy rights, and we've seen in other states how it gets worse and how miscarriages are then policed as potentially intentional and are criminalized. So I am heavily in opposition. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Robin Smith of Anchorage. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Yes, my name is Robin Smith. And I do want to remind, thank you for letting me speak. And I do want to remind the people on this committee that Alaska has the highest rate of rape in the country. And some of those who are raped are children. And I would not want to see these children or even women forced to carry a child when they've been raped. So that's my very first comment. The second comment I have is, this bill is really poorly written. It doesn't really state what it's trying to accomplish. And I think most Alaskans who are going to read this bill will not understand it all. And the other thing is just to go into a little bit of detail about science, which maybe not all of you understand, but from 100 women who end up, having an egg come out, only 20% of the fertilized eggs will actually successfully implant.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Smith. Next, we have Tara Burns of Fairbanks. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Tara Burns, and I am calling to ask you to all vote no on this bad bill. This strategy of redefining terms like life and commercial sex, which there is another bill of Vance's, you know, would redefine receiving flowers from a partner as commercial sex. These redefinitions are part of an agenda to criminalize Alaskans and to control women's bodies. This is dangerous for Alaska. This is dangerous for public safety. And this is dangerous for women. Please vote no on all of these bills.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Maxine Dugan, Fairbanks. If you could please state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Thanks so much. This is Maxine Dugan calling on behalf of Community United for Safety and Protection. We're Alaska sex worker group, sex trafficking victims, and our allies. And we are calling in today to oppose House Bill 107. Our community will be harmed by using these overbroad, misleading definitions when life begins. There are several other bills introduced redefining everything from pornography, sexual abuse of children, sex trafficking of a minor, and now life itself. These attempts to statute into Alaska law unnecessarily in confusing definitions are part of the Christian fascist movement, whose real agenda is to impose their worldview on us at any cost. They'll impose it on other religions, cultures, and even political parties. These misleading definitions are the gateway to criminalizing women and women's bodies to the extreme, of which we've seen in the news where women are now having to break laws as a means to gain access to medical care. We urge you to oppose 107 because it ultimately strips the rights of bodily autonomy to all women and children by remote, which is the antithetical way of being, and it's against Alaskan values.
Thank you, Ms. Dugan. Next, we have Adrian Wilbur from Seattle. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hi, yeah, my name is Adrian Wilbur. I'm actually from Sitka, Alaska, but currently in Seattle. And I'm calling in vehement opposition to this House bill for the reasons stated by many of the folks who've called in already. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have David Poppy from Nanana. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
My name's David Poppy from Nanana, Alaska. I'm calling to testify on my own behalf against this bill. I am an EMT with the local fire department. We have women who are in reproductive emergencies that we take to the hospital. Any kind of imposition of health care for these women in regards to making abortion or abortion-type procedures illegal would, in essence, make it such that we could not hand off our patients, which would be just, I can't even begin to think of how horrible that is. We had a person who was 6 months pregnant with a dead fetus in her body. I cannot even begin to think how awful that was for that woman. The other thing is anything that can be frozen and brought back to viability is not a person, okay? You cannot freeze a baby and bring it back to life. So any idea of making an embryo or a sperm equal to a person is just so out of bounds, it cannot even be comprehended. So put it there. That's where it's at.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Poppy. Next, we have Pamela Samash from Nanana. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute. Pamela, are you available? It appears she's not on. Next, we have Kimberly Ramos from Juneau. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
My name is Kimberly Ramos, and I live in Juneau, Alaska, and I am testifying on behalf of myself. I strongly oppose HB 107 for a very personal reason. I miscarried my first pregnancy. It is estimated that up to 20% of all pregnancies end in miscarriage. For many of us who have this heartbreaking experience, medical and surgical abortion may be the only safe and compassionate option for treatment. My beautiful 4.5-month-old baby exists today because I had a medical abortion after my miscarriage. This bill is unconstitutional and is not only a threat to a woman's right to abortion as health care, but also threatens fertility treatments like IVF and forms of contraception. Instead of wasting time on legislation like HB 107, I would like to see legislature solve real problems like our child care crisis, our education crisis, access to preschool. How about paid paternity leave? Your religious beliefs have no business determining whether or not I have access to health care. Please vote no on HB 107.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Caroline Emilek from Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please continue.
I'm Caroline Emilek from Anchorage, representing myself, and I strongly oppose HB 107. I'm a medical provider in Anchorage. I moved to Alaska from Florida, a state with some of the most strictest abortion laws. Abortions will continue to happen if they are legal or not. It's incredibly dangerous to limit women's access to medical care. This bill will also push away medical providers from coming to this beautiful state where there's already a shortage of providers. Let's prioritize our people, kids who are out of the womb, who need help. Let's prioritize women's rights to make their own choice with their own body. I strongly oppose this bill, and I hope you do too. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Chance Donovan of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hello. My name is Chance Donovan. Chance Donovan of Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm calling to oppose House Bill 107. I've lived in Alaska my entire life, and actually the youngest person that I've met that was pregnant was 12 years old. That was when I was living in Wasilla. Under this House Bill, she wouldn't be able to get medical care that she would need. And honestly, it's to the point where I am considering leaving Alaska
if this bill is to pass in order to protect my family. I'm sorry, I'm just a little bit emotional. But yeah, I'd hate to leave my home that I've known my entire life. And thank you for your time. Free Palestine, free Congo.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Shanti Trevayan from Eagle River. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Shanti Trevayan. I am a Eagle River. I live in Eagle River. I'm a I am testifying on my behalf. I oppose HB 107. This House bill is egregious and a waste of our legislative powers. I do not support any law that restricts a woman's right to solely decide for herself any and all health care matters. You cannot freeze a baby, therefore an embryo is not a baby. This is religious ideology. I also believe that any law in regards to health care violates established HIPAA laws. Not only do most disclosures to law enforcement regarding abortion or the pregnancy outcomes violate HIPAA, they also put maternal and neonatal health at risk by deterring pregnant people from seeking necessary medical care. Such disclosures are widely opposed by leading medical organizations, as well as myself, an Alaskan resident. Please vote no on HB 107. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Michaela Richardson of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
I'm Michaela Richard, resident of Anchorage AK, and I oppose House Bill 107. The youngest recorded birth was Lena Medina at 5 years old. I was 4 years old when my pro-life foster dad raped me. If you want to take care of the children, you need to start with this corrupt country's foster care system, because there are rapists impregnating children right now. Free Congo, free Palestine, land back for all. That is it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Mariah Bennett from Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
My name is Mariah Bennett from Anchorage, Alaska, representing myself. I adamantly oppose this bill. Our government has no business being involved in very personal health care decisions for women. I think that all of the other things that people have stated before about that have covered the rest of the issues that I had to talk about today. I hope this bill does not pass and that we are listened to, that we do not want this.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Heidi Frost of Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Heidi Frost. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm representing myself. I oppose House Bill 107. It's wildly unconstitutional. It's against women's health and women's autonomy. And other states have shown how poor these efforts turn out. Please do not vote for House Bill 107. Thanks so much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Terry Lyons of Wasilla. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
This is Terry Lyons, and it's my understanding House Bill 107 is to define the definition of life. To deny the fetus as a separate person for any reason is to deny the obvious. Does a separate life begin when the sperm and egg join and the cells begin to divide, or when a fetus becomes viable? How can we call a single cell amoeba life and deny the obvious truth that if fetus is a separate life? I support House Bill 107, and I would like to see you pass the bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Dr. Ashley Franklin from Fairbanks. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
This is Dr. Ashley Franklin from Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm calling to oppose House Bill 107. I think that this bill will have unintended consequences, including loss of physicians in the state of Alaska and other providers, as well as fear to take care of women. I am an obstetric provider in the state, and I know that I would be afraid to help provide care for women in the setting of miscarriage where there's still active fetal heart rate. And so that's an example would be the cervix is open, the pregnancy cannot continue, but I wouldn't be able to intervene based on this bill because there's still an active fetal heart rate. Thank you so much. Please oppose this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Joan Franz from Fairbanks. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Hi, my name is Joan Franz, and I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm representing myself. I am absolutely opposed to House Bill 107. Legislators, please oppose this bill and vote no. This bill is a waste of time, as this bill does not respect our Alaska Constitution and is unconstitutional. Reproductive care decisions belong to women and their doctors, not legislators. Legislators, do not bring your religious beliefs into a family's private medical decisions. I do support and agree with other Alaskans opposing this bill. Thank you. Please vote no.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Ephraim Frolik from Juneau. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Thank you, Chair Vance and members of the House Judiciary Committee. My name is Ephraim Frolik, a lifelong Alaskan, and born and raised son of Juneau. I'm calling to vehemently oppose HB 107. This bill is poorly drafted, ill-conceived, regressive, counter to science, and extremely harmful. It's honestly embarrassing to have to come to tell your state legislative body that what they're doing is unequivocally unconstitutional. I went to law school. This wouldn't pass muster if I submitted it in my Con Law 101 class. It's also startling to have to continue to re-explain our state's core value of privacy that is baked into our founding documents by our forefathers. There's so much that our state needs right now. Every minute spent on this senseless legislation takes away from the future of our state that I very much want to continue to raise my family in despite feeling like many in power want us to leave. Please oppose HB 107. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Will Muldoon from Juneau. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Good afternoon, Chair Vance and members of the committee. My name is Will Muldoon, and I'm a resident of Juneau, Alaska. Much like most everyone else here today, I am calling in opposition to HB 107. It's poorly written, you know, and definitely looks like it's written by somebody that has gone 0-for-20 in the legislation that they've sponsored. And we got to get Rep. McCabe a win, and I would just hate for him to go through all of this and for his first bill to just be dunked on by the Supreme Court of Alaska. So, encourage you guys all to do better. I know you got a lot of work ahead of you and a tough session ahead, and I wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And last but not least, we have Lila Henderson from Nikiski. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute. Lila? You might need to unmute your microphone. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone else at the time. One moment. We may have... Ooh. It looks like we missed Carly Jensen from Eagle River. My apologies. If you could state your name for the record, you have 1 minute.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Carly Jensen. I'm a resident of Eagle River, and I am testifying on behalf of myself. As you've heard many times over, I'm against House Bill 107. It's unconstitutional. It goes against the right of privacy that Alaska has so has laid out for all of our citizens. And as someone with fertility issues, I could not in good conscience start family planning in Alaska if this bill were to pass. And as has been mentioned before, there will be an exodus of working professionals leaving this state if this were to pass, as well as many young couples who are trying to start families in here, understanding that the risk is going to be too high in order to try to start families because of the many complications that can happen in even wanted pregnancies. I strongly oppose this House bill, and I hope that it does not pass.
Thank you for your testimony. I've scrolled through, and it looks like we have Michael Patterson from Anchorage. Please state your name for the record. You have 1 minute.
Michael Patterson. Oh. Hi, my name is Michael Patterson. I'm calling on behalf of the Party for Socialism and Liberation Anchorage. We are absolutely opposed to this bill. This bill is an attack on the people of Alaska. This bill is an attack on the Alaska Constitution. This bill is an attack on families. This bill is an attack on children. This bill is just an attack on Alaska. Stop trying to push your religion into the law. Reproductive health has a popular mandate in Alaska. We already voted down the Constitutional Convention, which was a low-key referendum on abortion. It failed. You have wasted an entire meeting, or you could have gotten other things done, because you keep bringing bills up for your own personal agendas. Stop doing that. We don't pay you so much in per diem, and you all gave yourselves a raise last year. You all didn't deserve it. Stop wasting our time. Stop attacking women. Stop attacking working class people. Stop attacking the Alaska Constitution. Knock it off. Do your jobs. Quit wasting our time. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, and I want to thank everyone for their patience today. We had 64 people, and everyone had an opportunity to have their voice be heard, and we did it on time. Thank you, everyone, for keeping your testimony succinct. I apologize, but I wanted to have everyone an opportunity to be heard today. We are now going to set House Bill 107 aside, and I look forward to delving into the science that defines life. I believe this is an important topic for this committee to address, and I look forward to that conversation. That concludes our business for today. That a House Judiciary Committee will meet again on Wednesday, February 28th at 1 p.m. to bring back House Bill 67, Harassment, Sex Offender, and Offenses, as presented by the Department of Law for the Governor. Seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect. It is 3:02 p.m.